Lord is good. I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'd like you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I want you to put your hand on your heart. And I want you to repeat after me. Are you ready? Nobody said, are you ready? Hold on. Heavenly Father, today I want you to write your word on my heart. Because I know it's the word that'll change me, mold me, bring me closer to you. Father, I give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Beautiful. The coming of the Messiah was predicted well beforehand. And it came not by accident, but precisely on time with God's plan. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So if God is truly in charge of every event in your life, then every moment is important. Is there something that needs to happen in your life today or even at this very moment? If we were to stop right now and stare at our watches for exactly 1 minute, it would be amazing, absolutely amazing how long 1 minute of silence would seem, but how short 1 minute seems when you're doing something you enjoy. Very often, a span of time can change everything. Think about it today. What if a quarterback hesitates too long before throwing a pass? What if a guy who's out there hunting hesitates too long or pulls the trigger too fast? What happens if someone arrives late for a departing flight? Galatians says this, 4 and 5. I've never read this at Christmas, but man, these two verses just ministered to me. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might have received adoption as sons. So just as the right time, God sent his son. And that is what I call the miracle of the moment. 3 points I have for you this morning. Point number one, he came at the right moment. If you ever want to hear the true story of Jesus, it's in God's Word, Luke chapter 2. Even the subtitle in ESV says, the birth of Jesus Christ. And it says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothal, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. The entire passage of Luke chapter 2, those first 7 verses, is really about timing. And those days refers back to chapter 1 and continues the narrative. When you think about it, the decree that Caesar Augustus concerning taxation pinpoint an exact time in history. And in the fact that Quirinius was the governor of Syria further pinpoints an exact time in history. Joseph and Mary traveled together to Bethlehem, and I don't think pregnant women would travel very fast. But while they were there, highlights the facts that we really do not know how long they had to stay to complete the census and the taxation. But it seems to indicate that the entire process lasted long enough for Mary to have become too close for delivery for them to travel again until it took place. So finally and thankfully, the days were completed. that she should be delivered, that she should be delivered. And the time came for her delivery. And God had been preparing for this moment, even using the Roman Empire to prepare the world for the birth of Jesus. I like everyone to read these verses in Luke 2, 11, 12. Let's read them together. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Historians tell us that the Roman world was in great expectation at this time, waiting for a deliverer. At the time Jesus was born, old religions were dying. I found in many commentaries, the old philosophies were emptied and powerless to change men's lives. Strange new mystery religions were invading the empire. Religious bankruptcy and spiritual hunger were everywhere. God was preparing the world for the arrival of His Son. And the Romans, they had constructed roads that connected city to city, making travel easier. All roads ultimately led to Rome. The world was at peace under Roman rule. Roman laws protected the citizens, and Roman soldiers guarded the peace. The Old Testament prophesies certain concerning the coming of the Messiah was completed at just the right time. God sent His Son. Point number two, He provides the right moment. God comes to us just at the right moment with what we need. Isaiah 9:6 says, for us a child is born, to us a son is given, to us. And the government will be upon His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And I remember how God came through for me just at the right time. Just at the right time, my wife visited a church called Christian Fellowship Church. Just at the right time, He had me there. Just at the right time, He had me attend the volleyball game. Playing volleyball. Just at the right time, He had the youth pastor there. Just at the right time, the youth pastor started talking to me. Nick, I heard you were at a church assembly God in Leesburg. I heard you've been working with teens. Would you like to come and help me? And I said, sure. And he prayed with me, and he asked me what my gifts were. And I said, I want you to meet me Wednesday night. And I went into a room at Christian Fellowship Church, which was probably a third of the size of this room. And there were 60 junior higher kids in there, 60 Andy Savias, 60 Eric Schoenhoffs, 60 Ben Schoenhoff, 60 kids just going wild, you know, climbing on the roof. Andy was on the roof, but anyway, but just at the right time. That God opened the door up for me. And I'm thinking to myself, God's going to open the door for people here today. God has a reason why you're here. There's a certain time through history. And God knew even before you were born that you would be here on this day. A census to compel travel to tribal towns. A young girl of faith. A humble, obedient young man were all in place at just the right time. Just when the Jewish faithful were despairing of hope, God chose to act. Look at Romans 5:6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So I'm supposed to ask you today, are you without hope today? Are you lacking peace in your life today? Do you need a miracle? Do you feel like you're out of options? Could the timing be right now for you to make a choice that would allow God to work in your life? Think about it. I want to read that again, and I want you to think about and listen to your heart right now. Could the timing be right for you to make a choice, to make choices that allow God to work in your life? Third point, he says, now is the right moment. Matthew 1:22-23, it says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." And we're always waiting for the right time. When will things get better? When should I accept Christ as Savior? When should I commit to church membership? When should I commit to a closer walk with Christ? When should I turn fully trusting God for everything in my life? 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "In a favorable time, I listened to you. And in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." One moment in time can determine eternal destiny. And right now is such a moment. Decisions you make right now for or against Christ will determine what happens in your future. I'm going to say that again. Decisions you make right now for or against Christ will determine what happens in your future. Do I need to accept Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord? Do it now. Do I need to unite with a church fellowship? Do it now. Do I need to commit to a closer walk with Christ? Do it now. Do I need to turn from sinful habits and find freedom? Do it now. Do you need to surrender an area in your life and maybe an area that the Lord is calling you to serve at a certain ministry in this church? Do it now. Is there any spiritual decision you need to make? Do it now. In her book, Unbroken, if you saw that movie, Laura Hillenbrand writes of an Olympic runner named Louis Zamperini. Cool Italian name. He had terrible experiences after crash landing in the Pacific Ocean and becoming a prisoner of the Japanese in World War II. And after being reprobated or being sent back at war's end, Zamperini returns home, he marries, and attempts to live with the demons of his captivity. After having nothing to do with religion in any form, he finally accompanies his wife to a tent meeting conducted by a young evangelist named Billy Graham. It was during the invitation to accept Christ as Savior that Lewis had his last flashback. He remembered a promise he had made while drifting on a life raft, hungry, thirsty, and watching his raft mate slowly die. It was a promise thrown in heaven, a promise made and not kept. A promise he had allowed himself to forget until this instant. If you will save me, I will serve forever. And at that moment, Lewis went forward and accepted Christ as his Savior. And as attested to in the remainder of the book, his life was dramatically and forever changed. That could happen to somebody here today. That a life would be dramatically and forever changed for eternity. A man who dreamed terrible dreams of his Japanese captors and became a catalyst for peace between nations and peoples, Louis Zamperini spent the remainder of his life carrying Olympic torches to open the international games and carrying the torch of peace that only Christ can give through faith. The miracle of Christ's birth was a culmination of hundreds of thousands of moments of decisions, of choices made by prophets, made by kings and others, including Mary and Joseph. At the moment of decision, each made the right choice, and God worked to bring about his will, the birth of his son. I found this verse in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. So at their moment, at this moment, there may be decisions before you right now. The miracle of this moment will occur when you choose according to God's will and discover that He has been working all the while for you. I was 29 years old before I made that decision to surrender my life to Christ. And when I look back, I see how many times He did things. He put people in place, things in place, jobs in place, a spouse in place, other pastors in place in my life. But it was up to me to choose whether I was going to be faithful. It was up to me to choose whether I was going to spend my life getting God's word into my heart so I would know what His good and pleasing and perfect will is. That's a decision we have to make every day. The miracle of this moment will occur when you choose according to God's will and discover He has been working all the while for you. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." If you're watching football today, look into the crowd. You'll probably see that on the sign. You'll probably see John 3:16, because God wanted just at the right time for you to see that verse and to understand that He loves the world, that He gave His only Son, and that's why we're here. That's why we come every week here, to celebrate what Jesus is born, died, born, buried, died, rose again for us. But that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. So my statement for you is today to come. As we have an altar call here today, come and give your heart to Christ this Christmas 2017. Give your heart to Him this Christmas season. Come and tell Him you want to be closer to Him starting today. The ushers want to come forward. We're going to take an offering and the band's going to play, and we would want nothing else but to pray for anybody who would want to come up here and pray. Maybe for a neighbor, maybe for a spouse, maybe for a son or a daughter, maybe for someone God had put on your heart at this time, at this very moment, for you to ask Him to touch their heart. Father, I give You the glory for today, Lord. Thank You for Your word. Thank You that we can come free, that we don't have to go underground and go into a cave and have a service, or go into some back street corner trying to keep away from the authorities who want nothing to do with God. But God, You blessed us with the United States. You blessed us with freedom that we can come and worship You in spirit and truth, how the Word tells us to do. So, Father, I pray that You bless our offering. But my biggest prayer for the last month, thinking about this message and looking about the time that God does and how He works things together for our good, what happened today from some people's lives, to surrender their life to You. So, Father, I give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, Lord.